up with a thousand and one little gadgets, and it can be different for everybody. There's no common pattern, and yet they're all props, because we are a little insecure. We're insecure in ourselves, we're insecure with others, we're insecure in the face of nature, we're insecure in the face of great danger, accidents, illnesses, falling off mountains, all kind of things that we're very insecure about. We're insecure about going in a foreign country because we don't know the customs, we don't know the language, we don't know the morality, and all these things is something you've really got to start working on very actively. I'm telling you this because I made all the mistakes. In the last 10 years, all the things I'm telling you we've done, we've gone off to the mountains, my family and I, and we've lived with the natives, we had the hot water, we had to take cold showers, and it's amazing how you can take a cold shower with a half gallon of water, but winds up you don't do it every day, you do it once a week, and so on and so on. And so we've done all these things. One of the important things we learned is living in the woods, for example, without any food resources. We could live completely off the land. With the mushroom season around, we had the best food in the world when we prepare mushrooms. And all it takes is a little pan and a fire and a little oil or butter, whatever you have with you, and you can have the most marvelous meal. We learned to, in springtime, live off of pokeweed, which for about 2 weeks, when it's up, is a marvelous salad. And so it goes, you can live year-round on just what's around you, but you don't realize it until you actually go out and do it and learn what is good and what is in season and how to prepare it and so on and so on. And you can live very happily. So what I'm trying to tell you is something very simple, something you can work on yourself with only. It doesn't have to start out with an organization, a legal entity, a fundraising drive, get a lot of people involved. That's all the wrong way. That's a centrifugal way of going about it. What I'm talking about is a centripetal way where you pull all your resources into yourself. And when you do that, you'll be surprised how easy it is to be a part of an organization. The only person who can really be an effective part of the organization is one who's completely independent, who's not there to manipulate anything toward his own goals, or to capture power, or to get honor, glory, praise, all this sort of stuff. He can be very useful, or she, just by being himself and being an honest, clear channel without having all kind of heavy biases in his mind. And now on the subject of biases, one of our big problems as humans is we have to have some organized system to hold on to. People cling to the Bible. They cling to negative ideas. There's a whole set of very strange negative ideas floating around in America. And I think it's also important to get rid of these pillars that we cling to. They could be scientists cling to certain fundamental principles, believe it or not. And if something comes along that even seems to threaten that principle, that principle of conservation of energy, they get very uptight and they don't see clearly anymore. They're already making the wagon circle to defend their little territory. And so it is with religionists and economists and industrialists and union workers, etc., etc. We all know that's very important to get rid of all these props. If you don't realize what props they are, normally because you think that is the essence of what you have distilled out of life as being worthwhile. But if you go to the history of mankind, you'll find it's an evolving story, and that what was a bright, hot, powerful idea 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago is an archaic museum kind of artifact that we say, gee, yeah, we did go through that sort of nonsense, you know, like theologians, it's a classical example, sitting around and arguing how many angels could sit on the head of a pin. Well, we can still go into that argument today. Now it's quantum mechanics and has to do with the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, but it's still the same problem because you're dealing with the unobservable, and therefore you fall back on the opinion, your insight, your imagination, and therefore you always are open to endless arguments if nobody has a foundation in true knowledge, true knowledge being the way things really are, whether humans are here or not. And so mankind keeps constructing all sorts of new artificial systems, and we've gone over a lot of those ideas in the past few days, and even belabor that point. So getting rid of, I've gone through this process of sucking all sorts of props. You wouldn't believe it, but I belonged at one time to like 40 scientific organizations. I thought that was hot stuff, you know, of all these doctors and all these journals coming in. And one day I realized I'm kidding myself. These are all props. I just canceled all my memberships and the subscriptions, and I feel much freer ever since I got away from it. And we all go through this stuff, okay? And it's, with some it's a military background, and others it's a club you belong to, and it's your community. But think of it only as a prop, and it's really what it is. And when you get rid of those props, you can be a much more fruitful and creative human being. So that's the essence of what I have to tell you. It's will and getting rid of a lot of things that we use to prop ourselves up with. In 6 months, you can be ready for anything. And believe me, I was surprised when my colleagues yesterday didn't realize that it was a matter of 2 hours training to learn how to bend a piece of metal. This is like standard stuff all over the United States. And I mentioned it's party stuff in Washington with the military. But it's amazing what you can do in releasing powerful potential energies that you have within you. Now, just releasing them, of course, we all know is only half the story. You have to control them thereafter. You can't be like the sorcerer's apprentice and go ape with your newfound powers and wreck and destroy everything in your path. When you release these powers, you also have to take on an equivalent set of responsibilities, whether it be bending a piece of metal or levitating an object or teleporting it or making plants go faster with your powers or healing people. Tremendous sense of responsibility. That is what teaches you wisdom. When you have the power and you know what can happen with the use or release of this power, then you are in a perfect position to start learning wisdom. Until you achieve some kind of power of creativity or superior use of your abilities, you really are not in a position to develop wisdom. You cannot learn wisdom from books. If that were true, then every college professor in the world would be a wise man. Anybody who knows college professors knows that that's the last thing they become. It's some very narrow, specialized people who know a lot about little and are very fearful of engaging any other domain of discourse. And wisdom is the last thing you find by going at it through books. Even if going at wisdom to the laboratory of nature, whether you're a plant scientist or bacteriologist or physiologist, whatever, even that is not enough to lead you to wisdom, because again, you get hung up on all the little mechanisms which you know are sure, they are repeatable, they operate, and you think that is the whole domain of knowledge. Well, that's nonsense, because the very fact that science evolves and changes every day, and that religion maybe changes a little slower, the fact that we are always upgrading our stock of human knowledge alone tells us that whatever we know today is not going to necessarily be true tomorrow. Some things do remain, but the edifice of knowledge is continually building up. And so, one of the things we want to think of a goal, this is my third point here, you can move toward wisdom and reach it in some degree. And wisdom is something that's testable. A crisis comes up, and usually the main ingredient of any crisis is what's going to happen next. I mean, we can use the example of a paramedic who comes on an accident scene. His real concern is to not only evaluate what is there before him, but what to do in order to get the patient through to the next stage, which is picking him up, putting him in the ambulance, getting him to the vehicle in some condition whereby doctors, which the doctors can work with. So forecasting is a part of our life all the time. And the real test of wisdom is in a real crisis,
and you love judgment, or you make a judgment, or you make a decision, how that comes out in future time is the real test of whether you're a wise person or not. And as some of you know here, it helps a lot to have ESP, it helps a lot to be a little mediumistic, because you can't, it's good to look down the time track here, but it's also good to have some help from the outside, right?
Right.
You can't do it all yourself. So these are the essential ingredients of wisdom. First, going through all this process, getting this machinery under control completely, being able to see a little bit ahead of anybody else around you, and always being conscious that you can get outside help. If you can always work with those three elements, you're over the big pump. So, Norman, do you want to make any summaries or anything about the meeting last night?